brakes,
the
the brakes were also really unreliable.
That I know.
And they had a few just they had great engines.
Hey, Rachel.
Bad body of chest.
I did. I was one of the few guys that could do all the hub rebuilds, and so I did bearings and hubs and seals. And I had a four-wheel drive guy that trained me, and a lot of people would worn hubs were the way to go. They still kind of are, but they were a lot of the same part. They got better as they were running. They had two main styles. One was a little better than the other.
It was like a red post
And they were all straight axles, as you're
conference,
aware
like
of. She's a jack.
so
the
Yeah.
put it on the device.
What a bad place to have something going
for workshops.
I did an incredible amount of work on this.
Especially if you run them in the ocean or on the beach.
We have.
Doing the rear ends on those were a pain to take apart. They were full floating axles for a little vehicle. So
The goat genius.
We're at 6:02, Commissioner.
Okay, we're ready to go.
And then
Okay, well, I'm going to call to order the special meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It's 6:02. And let us start with a pledge of allegiance. A roll call first. Thank you.
Commissioner Newman?
Here.
Commissioner Dale? Commissioner Norton?
Here.
Commissioner Benson?
Present.
And President Coleman?
So we have three of the five commissioners, so we have quorum, so we can make decisions tonight. So we're going to start with a pledge of allegiance. And I'd like to ask one of my students, Tay, would you form our union to lead the pledge of allegiance for us?
This is the first time I've done that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Executive Director, do we have any report on closed session?
No reportable action in closed sessions.
So we're going to move to public comment. In the agenda, and this is the part of the agenda for those who haven't come, where we can speak, where the public's invited to have 3 minutes at the mic to discuss anything relevant to our mission, harbor recreation and conservation, and even just make public announcements and for things that aren't on tonight's agenda. So items not on the agenda, we'll have public comment for items on the agenda later and separately. So this is open mic, basically. For anyone who'd like to make a public comment, I'll start in the house and see if there's anyone. Okay, and then we have folks online as well. And so if you can hear me, if you're online, if you would like to make public comments for items not on the agenda and you're accessing from a phone, hit *9 and we will then admit you in to, or we'll turn you on so you can be heard in the chambers here. And not hearing anyone and not seeing any hands raised from those who are with us online, let us then move forward to the consent calendar. And so we're going to look at the minutes for August 14th and approve a PO for the Bosun's Locker and do all that in one motion. So
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
We have a motion. We have seconds.
Second.
Seconds. Any discussion on this item? Do we ask for public comment on consent? I didn't think so. Okay. Well, let's take it, put it to the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Opposed? None. Abstentions? None. So the consent calendar is passed. Let's move to item 10 already, communications reports and correspondence received, and start with the executive director's report.
No correspondence received. I'll just proceed to my report. Pretty simple tonight. No photographs, but attended the California Marine Affairs and Navigational Conference fall meeting. The Marine Affairs Conference really focuses on port operations, harbor operations, and advocacy for states and federal funding, as well as budget allocations. Our biggest advocacy for dredging harbors comes from CMAQ and Jim Hausner, who's executive director of this group. They put on an excellent meeting. A big focus was Army Corps work, the civilian work that's done by the U.S. Army Corps, and a lot about lobbying and the different funding that's out there related to harbors and navigation. One of the things that really comes out to mind in this particular place, and you've heard Rob give reports, you've heard me talk extensively about dredging the barn entrance, and the Corps is moving to an initiative to hit 75% beneficial reuse. And so while we're not there yet, it is really becoming a leading topic. We're excited. We've got a lot of plans for beneficial reuse here in Port Humboldt Bay and our greater sediment management. So it's nice to hear that. And had a wonderful attendance, including some very upper leadership from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in terms of the enlisted side. So happy to be there. I was also elected their board of directors, and so it's an honor to participate and support Jim and his work. And so just starting out that term. Humboldt Bay Oyster Company, I took a tour on the water recently. Todd, I want to say thank you to you and your crew. It was a lot of fun to be out there. A lot of learning lessons for me, a lot of exposure that, you know, I've seen in permits and seen in the books, but really haven't seen it on the water as I was able to. And definitely wearing waders next time so I can get out in the mud, but it's a lot of fun. After that, Bill Rich invited Todd and I to take a tour of Mad River Slough Shellfish Nursery. So I spent quite a bit of time with Bill walking around there. That too was good. There's just nothing like being in the field and really touching it and seeing it. And so, of course, a thank you to those folks, as well as to you know, all those who make the industry possible. Continue to meet with RW and Vineyard, their leadership teams. Rob and I meet with them pretty regularly. And, you know, still focus as ever on bringing offshore wind to the Port of Humboldt Bay. We had our Harbor Safety Committee meeting last week, also a Bar Pilots Advisory Committee this week. I am happy to say that after quite a number of years, we are in the final stages of having our navigational buoys back in place, harbor lights being replaced and active, and we may even have a bar camera once again. So a lot of great work being done there, but we're starting to see a real strong amount of communication coming out of the U.S. Coast Guard and NOAA real specifically as to navigation, and we're grateful for that. We had our county 2x2 recently. Let's see, that's Commissioner Dale, Commissioner Coleman, Supervisor Wilson, Supervisor Arroyo, and of course, the leadership staffs from the county and from the Harbor District. Those are really becoming good engagement meetings, and so we're really grateful for that. Also getting a lot of advocacy for the county around supporting us in economic development as the port supports, you know, the greater part of the county's economic development. So that's become a pretty great relationship. A note to that, because I did this a little earlier, the California Workforce Development Board was in town too. We were able to meet with them yesterday morning for about an hour. We had Green Diamond here talk about what they're doing in their ship export dock. The Chamber of Commerce, Shelley Nielsen from Express Personnel, and Beth Burks from River Coast Energy Authority. And they're doing quite a whirlwind tour of the different regions, but it was a chance for us to talk about what we have here, what we don't have here, and what we'd like to see, and continuing to focus on creating more apprenticeship opportunities in here, but also making sure that we're able to train our people here and we're not sending folks that want to go into a near career out of the area for work. So that was a good meeting. Very well received, and we did a lot of great listening in there. And finally, we had a welcome tour for our new associate, Marissa Ginelli, who's our grants and contracts analyst. Rob took her out on a tour, I think it was last week, with the HSU class. Weren't able to show the terminal project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we went and toured all of our facilities with her. Mindy and I took her out last Friday morning. And it's always neat to see how excited people get about all the different things they do. And I think oftentimes we forget how big our territory is and all the projects we have. So it was nice to take her out there. With that said, I'll pass it over to Rob.
I don't have a lot to share prior to the reports later, though I will say that there was a cannot remember the name, a group of otters today on our docks just out front, which is made everyone happy that works here. So I thought I would share the happiness.
We dropped what we were doing.
Sweet. All right. And then I'm planning this weekend to go paddle boarding and in Hopeton Slough, my first time in the southern part of the bay. And so I encourage everyone to recreate in Humboldt Bay. It's an amazing place.
Rob?
No district council report tonight. Ryan is away on travel. Our district treasurer as well. Mike does have an engineer report. Tonight is the open house for SHN. So, of course, he cannot be here, but he did provide his report. He continues to support us at the Fields Landing Boatyard. He and his team doing our industrial general permit management. Again, mm-hmm. You'll recall we hired them, so we don't have any issues related to our discharge, both in our storm and wash water systems down there. They're completing their value engineering of the stormwater treatment system. As we know, that project ended up coming in way over the estimated budget that they provided for and that you authorized us to negotiate a contract over. So they're doing a value engineering of that system. And I'm hopeful that we'll have a presentation next month that comes in under the value so we can proceed, but we want to update the board. And if there's any additional direction at that time. The RM2 marine outfall line, we've been waiting, excuse me, I'm talking how I feel about it, not Mike's report. He's drafting a scope estimate for permitting environmental review costs based on a recent meeting for us to proceed with removing the rock and bag system, anchoring the outfall line, and then the placement of sediment over it. We had a meeting with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They're very favorable about doing placement from the Redwood Marine Terminal 2 dock, pumping out to the beach and placing material there. That would be barn entrance sediment. It was received with very open arms. It has been. So we're going to proceed with getting the permitting done on that. Because it is material that typically would go to hoods, the Army Corps may be able to see the way to participating in that permitting and supporting the district in those efforts because it's a much more preferred method for them and it will actually lower costs overall.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
I just want to be sure I heard you correctly. Are you saying beach placement or do you mean near shore placement?
Beach placement.
Where the waves are going to push towards the beach.
So this is in permitting. So this this isn't an issued permit, but what we would do is we would pump from a suction dredge, slurry the mixture, pump it from RMT2 through dredge pipe. No, we can go right underneath the highway. There's a tunnel way there. There's a precast or a culvert, if you will, and bring it out to the coverage area necessary to cover our marine outfall line that was exposed. Mm-hmm. And then we would use mechanical equipment to push it in both directions.
The dozers.
Small tracked equipment. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And it's we've been working with California Coastal Commission, CFW, and other agencies. So it looks like people see the pathway to getting this done and see the benefits in doing it. So Mike's preparing all the scope and cost estimates so we can proceed with permitting.
And just because the public is likely to have questions about this is, if this is the outfall pipe on the beach, is it within a certain buffer of that outfall rather than beach wide?
That's correct. It'll be determined. Initial, not proposed by us, but proposed by others will be, center on there and push maybe a half mile in each direction. I think we've looked at a little bit smaller footprint and proving that the concept works and that things work. Incidentally, and this is for another time, and Peter Mole from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will be invited to present this, but one of the options would be to do placement out in the surf and let it come in as a more long-term beneficial reuse. That's for the agencies to permit, though. That wouldn't be a project of the Harbor District, but it would use our facility where we could potentially anchor the vessels at RMT2 and use our facility. So, yeah, but that's another project for another day. But, to answer your question, that's where we're headed with it. Staff is preparing a project description and mapping for review by the Corps on that. And then we have a number of follow-up meetings that will be scheduled to really understand, whose roles and responsibilities are for beach placement if we are successful in permitting. Again, if we can provide great value to the Corps and they don't have to take it to hoods, It takes the pressure off of hoods. It's much more efficient because you don't have all the trips out for disposal. And we know the Coastal Commission is not favorable about placing materials at hoods. They've been pushing for a long time for it to be used in other ways. So, yeah, kind of exciting to be able to work on that. So it was just an ask. All it was a, hey, we need you know, sediment. Your sediment looks pretty good. Is it possible you would entertain us reusing it? So at RMP2, the former LP solid waste disposal site, we have a recurring about every 4 years, perhaps it's every 5 years, we have to do a very major suite of sampling out there. I just got those results back. They're being reviewed. Well, there it is. It's a 5-year sampling assessment. So we just completed that. Again, that's in post-closure status and maintaining very, very well. We had our every other month meeting with LP, with the district and the water board, about the ongoing monitoring there. Remember, we're down just to those upland areas adjacent to Humboldt Bay. All of the other sampling sites were pulled. We had a well destruction plan and really made an incredible amount of progress out there. Finally, Shelter Cove, we're working with Cal OES because we have been approved for that first portion of our three-tiered funding down in Shelter Cove, so we can get working on the boat launch access road repair that's necessary. And pretty good stuff there. From a brownfield standpoint, SHN did meet with Terra Phase, finally trying to get the site visit confirmed, since they rescheduled twice. So there's a large-scale data review and file transfer occurring between county records, SHN, and Terra Phase in order to move forward with the brownfield site. So, so that's what we've got. Vanessa is out this evening. So that turns it over to you, commissioners.
Hey, this is where commissioners can give reports on committee work or just other commissioner reports. So start with you, Aaron. I'd like to report anything to me.
I don't have much for tonight. I would like to comment on how well received the work's been done to get our channel markers and other maritime aids to navigation back in place recently. It's been kind of a long time when buoys haven't been where they're supposed to be, and some haven't existed. So, especially when people are transiting the coast, you know, when you come into Humboldt Bay and buoy number 10's a quarter mile from where it's supposed to be, and number 9's not there, it's kind of worrisome if it's a foggy night. So, anyway, that's it for me.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. I have just a few things to report on. First of all, I just want to thank Director Mickelson and Rob, Mr. Holmland, for staff reports and for the engineer's report. We're doing so much as a district. I'm always impressed every month I come here. And I know it's just the tip of the iceberg that you're actually reporting on compared to the work that you're doing. And it's just such a small staff, and we get so much done. I'm always amazed that you're not falling over and having seizures, but you managed to come here still looking fairly chipper. So, all right, thank you for all your hard work. My report is I want to welcome a few of my students from environmental science class 305, which is environmental conflict resolution. They knew that offshore wind was going to be on the agenda tonight, and I think they're going to be surely disappointed at how uncontentious and how reasonable and how long-term the conversation on offshore wind is generally. I'm sorry, you're not going to see a lot of fighting and spitting and gnashing of teeth probably tonight. It happens every once in a while. Anyway, so welcome to the students from Cal Poly Humboldt. And I just wanted to also thank the Harbor District for the letter of support written on behalf of the Sea Level Rise Institute, operating out of Cal Poly Humboldt, but mostly with community partners. In order to be an institute, we have to, continue every few years. We have to restate our mission and provide our bylaws. And getting a letter of support from the Harbor District is helpful for the university president, CSU system, to evaluate that. So thank you for providing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have. So let's move into item 11, unfinished business. We're going to receive a status update regarding the Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy Lift Marine Terminal project.
All right. So as you all know, we lost two federal grants since we last met. On August 29th, we received two letters from the Federal Department of Transportation. letting us know that the federal government has withdrawn or terminated 12 different grants from around the nation, all associated with renewable energy. $679 million of grants were withdrawn, including our PDIP and infra grants. The letters indicated why they withdrew the grants, saying that our project is inconsistent with federal priorities, citing the fact that we have solar panels to produce on-site power, that our project includes EV charging infrastructure for employee parking spaces, and that the project supports the growth of zero-emission transportation and society-wide decarbonization. This thing is tiny. So a couple of quick thoughts. We were not caught off guard by this. We were prepared for this since the election. We have additional funds in our California Energy Commission offshore wind grant from 2021 that we can activate. We're currently working with the state to see how that can or could work. We also have the $18.25 million waterfront facility improvement grant that is still incoming. I expect that to be activated in January. And there is the Prop 4 climate bond also incoming. That one we have less details on, but there's quite a bit of money that if you read the bond language for offshore wind ports, there's only two ports that qualify for that money, and we're one of them. A little bit of good news about this. The letter indicated that costs incurred after the date of the letter are not allowable, which implies that costs incurred up to that point are reimbursable. And that has been confirmed. We received a payment 2 days ago, actually, I think. Maybe it was yesterday. So all of the expenses incurred to date look like they will be reimbursed, which is great news.
Indeed.
All right, so let's go over these one at a time. So the infra grant was primarily hard costs or construction, hard costs being physical changes, soft costs being permits and design. So the funding withdrew $426 million. That does not count non-federal matches that were dedicated to that or committed, I should say. The bulk of that money went to phase one construction of the heavy lift marine terminal. Also included $40 million or so for final design of the full project, all phases, and supplemental studies. And then the trail, the eco shoreline, ground-mounted solar, the rehabilitation of Samoa lagoons, our community benefit program, eelgrass mitigation, other habitat mitigation, public recreation access project, Woodley Island Fisherman Work Dock project, aquaculture relocation. Those two highlighted in yellow are soft costs. Everything else is construction or hard costs. Of this grant, so far we have spent $0. We were not eligible to begin spending it until the NEPA, which is the federal version of CEQA, was complete. So that one, we haven't spent any money on. If you take away the project itself, there are $78 million there in built-in community benefits for the project. To be fair, those two are technically obligated, that we something we would have to do, though we did our best to go above and beyond and invest more than would probably be necessary to do higher-end eelgrass and habitat mitigation. But if we take those two away, $27 million of things built into the project that aren't really specifically directly related to the project. We built these in for the benefit of the community. And as you'll see in a moment, we would like to proceed with the project continuing to include those. But those are going to be difficult to fund, possibly. But that's a long-term problem. It needs to be solved in a couple of years. We have a more immediate short-term problem to deal with. And that is the loss of the PDIP grant, which is entirely soft costs, which is the stage that we're currently in, permitting and design. So the funding rescinded was, well, the grant we received, $8 million plus dollars, not inclusive of the non-federal match from the state. It included special studies, site investigations, 30% engineering, NEPA CEQA permits, environmental studies, advanced design, or effectively construction-ready design for the roads, roadway connections, and habitat mitigation, as well as a Baywide Master Plan. There was a table provided in the staff report that was written 10 days ago. We have more updated numbers since then. So the budget spent to date is $4.4 million, which means about $4.2 million has not been spent. So we're currently working with the state because this is the money we need to replace ASAP to continue with the project. This is the money that's already been expended and will be reimbursed to us. At the last meeting, I updated the board on a revised timeline. This timeline is now going to be delayed a bit further. I can't give you an update until we get back on track, but I anticipate we'll be active and back where we were by January, hopefully sooner. So unless or until the board directs us otherwise, we're going to continue with design and permitting of the project as we can, a little bit slow at the moment, but back on track, hopefully by January. Project will continue to prioritize and include on-site renewable energy generation, EV charging, growth of zero emission transportation, and society-wide decarbonization. We'll continue to work with the state and other partners to plan our next steps and determine how to fill those funding gaps. And we'll work with the state, key partners, advisory committees, affected parties to recommit to the values and ambitions associated with transitioning our energy system away from fossil fuels and towards renewable energy. And unless you direct otherwise, the project will continue to be what it has been, which is 180-acre, multi-purpose, heavy-lift marine terminal designed to service the offshore wind industry for staging integration and floating foundation assembly. Two wharves, two berths, two cranes with in-bay wet storage, two or more construction phases, regular ongoing coordination and consultation with multiple tribes, 7+ community advisory committees, designed for sea level rise, green terminal strategy with on-site solar, including on the buildings and on the ground. We had an extra $10 million built in to go beyond just solar panels in the buildings. EV charging stations, we're also in the process of evaluating a microgrid. Multiple built-in community benefits that I showed in the previous slide and the community benefit program. Multiple types and sites for ecological habitat, biological mitigation, and all of the other components as presented to the board over the past year. The point here being that we will proceed with the project as the board has directed us to design it, unless you indicate you want to do something differently. So upcoming steps in this sequence, we're working with the state to reconfigure funding. Then we'll re-engage the consulting team, adjust the schedule, re-engage the community advisory committees. There's a bunch of field work that needs to be done. The green terminal strategy needs to go to the green terminal committee. It was actually really close to just days or weeks away from that, and then be brought to you. Proceeding with the 30% design CEQA permits, we are still determining whether we want to invest our time and money in NEPA right now. The federal government is sending us signals that it may be difficult to get through that type of permit at the moment. And then we will proceed with technical speakers at monthly board meetings, probably in January. And that is our report.
I don't know whether to thank you for that report. it's not all good news, but thank you for that report. Okay, I guess I'll turn it over first to commissioners to ask any clarifying questions, and then we'll move to a public comment.
It's what it is.
Yeah, right. And it's not all bad news because, I mean, you know, while losing $426 million, $500 million sounds like a, you know, a crippling forever blow. I really appreciate the staff report of what we can do and what we have received. We can, I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm going to, we can kind of snub our nose at the federal government because they did give us whatever $4.6 million, even though we didn't get to spend the other 4.4. So thank you, federal government, for a time supporting this project. And so happy to see that. I was very dismayed by the language in that letter. You gave the nicest parts of it, but just for the public, in the heading, the subject line was doomed offshore wind. and not just our project, but just offshore wind and decarbonization in general as a tactic. So just there's some getting our sea legs back under us around ways to continue to move the project forward. I know you're not looking for any kind of a vote tonight, but you're looking for us to provide some direction. I'm going to withhold on any of that until I hear from the public. So let's do that. Let's start with folks in the House. We would love to hear your comments on this report, offshore wind update, and the mic is available to you. Just come up and we'll recognize you, give us your name and who you represent, and then we'll start the 3 minutes after you start talking.
Hello, my name is Rachel. I'm from CoreHub, and I actually just have a question. You were mentioning the grant funding that is incoming, and you mentioned the CEC funds and the offshore wind grant from 2021. Do you have a dollar amount for what that is?
We're not really able to answer questions during public comment, but we hear that question, and we may be able to get you that information.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's the unfulfilling part of 3 minutes at the mic. You just get to tell us what you think about things, and we don't necessarily get to have a conversation.
Hello. Thank you very much, first of all, for that report. My name is John McIntaggart. I am the business manager with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 551. We represent electrical workers from the Bay Area, San Francisco, to the Oregon border. Six counties, and Humboldt and Del Norte are included in my counties. I want to thank you also for the project labor agreement for this port. And I want to thank you for your report. I like the ambition here at this board. Charge forward. I really appreciate that. I want to tell you also what it means potentially if the port moves forward, and I really hope it does, for as far as apprenticeship here locally. And I heard you talk about apprenticeship earlier, and again, we're all in on that. I did an apprenticeship. I did an electrical apprenticeship as a bartender. I didn't know what I was doing, right? And they taught me how to be an electrician. And they taught me how not just to be an electrician, but to teach others how to be electricians. And then they taught me also how to be a foreman, a general foreman, superintendent, and currently now I run the union as the business manager. So I have said this many, many times up here, and I want to just keep repeating it, and I will. The opportunities that were presented are on the table right now when this project starts getting built. You will see them. They talked about local hire in the project labor agreement. What I have guaranteed is that at least 50% local hire, at least all of the apprentices, 100% of the apprentices will be local hire. So everybody right now in grade school, in kindergarten, we're probably working on this project, because this project is going to go on for decades. So people who weren't even born yet will be working on this project. I think it's critical that we see it like that. People worry also about potentially workers coming in from other areas to take jobs that potentially local workers could be working on. That would only be for the start. And there's a lot of electricians that live here locally but travel out of the area to go to work, who will gladly come back to help teach the future generations. But initially, yes, all of the apprentices will be local. And after 5 years, all of those apprentices will be journeymen. And after giving 10 years, they will be training the next group. Give it 15 years. Anybody that came in here to help teach from other areas will have retired or now they're living here, adding to the community, eating in your restaurants, buying your stores, buying the gas, or they've gone back to where they came from originally. But everybody working here then would have been from here. You would have 100% local hire. So I think this is fantastic. I really appreciate the report. I did not expect to hear that. I urge you to move forward with this. Go on faith. And go on the belief that we will, get past this, get through this, and I just really appreciate where the sport is at. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Carol Vandermeer. I'm representing the Peninsula Community Collaborative, which just today has become a Dreammaker project of the Ink People. So we're moving forward and building our group. I just want to commend you for staying the course and and I commend you for continuing your commitment to community benefits. And, you know, in the face of that language you talked about, it's disheartening, but I feel really grateful, as I think probably most people in this room do, of being here in California in Humboldt County, where we have this kind of commitment. And I will say that, you know, living out on the peninsula, we want to continue to work with you as you develop those community benefits. We are having a meeting coming up October 13th, and we hope to update people on what's happening, and you're always welcome to come. Otherwise, you know, we have support also from RCAA to help fill in the gaps there as well. But I know people are interested in it and want to continue to work in partnership to make this a project that is most beneficial for our whole community. And the environment and the special place that the peninsula represents. So, yeah, thank you. And I just encourage you, if you're available, to come out to our meeting.
Carol, could you just tell us we got October 13th, but the time and place?
13th, from 5:30 to 7 at the Humboldt Coastal Nature Center. And we will have some updates and announcements. We also try to include special speakers. So there will be representatives from the Humboldt Wildlife Care Center, which is now operating out of Manila. So it won't be all wind development, but we want to provide some updates, and that should be a good presentation as well.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience like to speak? Let's report. Then let's go. Anyway, I see a hand raised by Zach M. It appears. So Zach, we're going to turn it over to you, and then Rick, you're on deck.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Maybe we can turn you up a little louder. Give us just a second.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, just fine now. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. My name is Zach Matthew, and I didn't know John was going to be speaking this evening, but I am one of the local apprentices that he was speaking of. I took the MC3 Union Readiness and Training course that is being put on by Cal Poly. I took it last fall, and I've just recently become a member of the IBEW 551, and I'm working here locally at the Cal Poly campus. And I just really want to thank everyone for all the work that they're putting into this project. And I want to thank everyone who put on that course as well. It was really informative, and it was really exciting to see so many local people interested in getting a long-lasting career. I have a family here in the area, and I've been a long-time resident, and I'm really, really pulling for this project to go through. And I know a lot of other people are as well, and so I just want to thank everybody.
You're welcome. Thank you, Zach. Rick Robbins, we see your hand up from RWE. You are welcome to the meeting. Please go ahead when you're ready.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I'm Rick Robbins with RWE, and I just wanted to express my appreciation for the report that we just received. You alluded earlier to the fact that there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into all of these items that the staff has been reporting out on, and this one in particular. You know, given the scale and complexity of the issue, I just wanted to express my appreciation and our support for all the work that your team is doing to try to find solutions to this to ensure that the opportunity is preserved, and look forward to the opportunity for future development that it'll bring. But again, just wanted to express appreciation for all the effort that you all are doing to try to find solutions to this change in the funding scenario. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Robbins. We are down, but we're not out. All right. Anyone else from the public? Okay, I'll bring it. Yeah, please. Just come right up to the podium and tell us your name.
Yes.
And then you have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Good. Hi, my name is Tay Franklin, Cal Poly Humboldt student. I'm also Eel River Band Wailaki tribal member, an ancestor who survived the massacre that happened here on this island. So, I mean, you know, there's a big thing at stake, you know, for you know, indigenous people here and just members of the community. Obviously, I'm a hunter. I hunt and I do a lot of, you know, outdoor activities here in Humboldt and along the bay. And I know Brant, they seasonally come in. This is one of the only places here in Mexico where they land. Whales, we have whales that migrate. And I know there's been issues, and I asked you about it in class, and I know there's a study about, what is it, 30 miles, or what would you say it was? It was 3 miles off of shore that is where the birds typically tend to migrate. But I know from my time in college now in wildlife classes and courses, we've seen that for migratory birds, that these wind turbines have thrown them off course. And I know that there's been a lot of bird death due to it. So, and then I've heard of also whales, you know, traveling with sonar. It can kind of throw off their sonar is what I've heard. You know, I don't know the science or the research backed by it or, you know, the validity of it, but I do know that there is, you know, some of that that goes into play. So maybe just a little bit more research into that. I do like that it's going to be bringing jobs back into the community. I'm all about that. I'm all about getting work back into the community. And I like that it's going to stay local. You know, business will be, you know, thriving with, you know, people from out of the area, as well as more work, more commerce. So I guess, you know, I would like to look more into this and get more involved with this, but yeah, and that was really it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, last call for public comment. Okay. All right, I'll bring it back to the commission. Again, our goal here tonight was just to receive the report and the update and provide any direction, you know, as needed. Nothing that we're going to take a vote on. There's no motion at this time. So I'll open it up to fellow commissioners.
Well, your metaphor of we might be knocked down, but we're still fighting or still up, right? So the question to raise to the possibility with the public and folks that, you know, I guess they're trying to be listen to all points of views and take that in. But one consideration that I'm thinking about, and I think some of the board members might be also thinking about, is how do we reposition some financial resources to different parts of the project. So we have a lot of community benefit needs and projects that, you know, overall we might think about, well, what if we slow down on a few of those community benefit projects so that the overall project can move forward. So just trying to, you know, that's just a possibility or a consideration. And trying to get other people's thoughts about that, but just strategically thinking, we'll see, well, what's in the best interest of the project, and not saying that those community benefits would be taken away, rather maybe a bit delayed, but they would still be forthcoming. You know, it's just that so that the project, again, moves forward as best as possible, given the limited financial resources available to the whole project. Just throw it out.
Thank you. Yeah.
I would have a similar feeling on it. And we've all known this is going to be a long road. And we're going to get there. So, and we're going to get there the right way. We got a great staff.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we're challenged to do more for less. I guess from my perspective, the community benefits are so important because my constituency is, you know, disproportionately affected by this project, in terms of having to live under the turbines. So I'm, you know, protecting the interests of my constituents as well as, you know, the interests of what I consider to be our county and our country in terms of decarbonization and providing alternative, you know, energy sources that use less carbon. And I'm really proud of everything that we've done in terms of the PLA and jobs to tribal members first and looking towards our resolutions towards the zero emission port. I think we're on the right track, and I don't want to pick and choose what gets to go forward and what doesn't at this point. I don't have enough information to make those decisions about, you know, what timelines may change. We know that things are going to go a lot slower now that you know, large federal funding has been taken away. But I'd like us to continue on all fronts, you know, to the maximum extent possible, you know, to the MEP, as you know, we often see that language in. And you know, and I'm especially interested in the community benefit agreements moving forward, and I'm also interested in that $51 million going into restoration as a restoration ecologist on Humboldt Bay, and counting up the millions of dollars spent in this since the new millennium. I mean, that is not only equaling but going above what has been spent on 30 restoration projects around the bay. So this is significant benefit to the conservation mission of this harbor district, and so I don't want to see anything get sort of disincentivized or put at the back of the line if possible. So my, you know, my personal direction, and I think what you're getting from the commission, is we have put so much work into getting 30% designs and to not finish that much of it, whether the project goes forward in the long term or not. To stop halfway on the first big step means that we've been wasted public money and done a disservice to, you know, to the goodwill, you know, in the community. And so I can't, even though I have mixed feelings about the project from the perspective of my constituents, I want to see us finish step one. I think that's really important. And I think that's important for us as a harbor district to show that we have the gumption to make sure that we at least fulfill those obligations that we promised to the community. So continue. Courage, the French would say.
Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, so then let's move on to item 12, new business, selection of a qualified contractor and award of a contract for the U.S. Coast Guard Barracuda power replacement. So let's hear a little bit more information on that first.
Sure. Well, the U.S. Coast Guard Barracuda has been a tenant of Woodley Island Marina for quite a period of time now. It has been moored at both the NTI on F and A dock. It's the preference of the U.S. Coast Guard to go back to F dock. They were moved for navigational reasons when we were unable to dredge. And currently the power is not suitable at F dock for them to moor there. And so we're working on a bid. We received one here from Robert Colburn Electric. We received four bids as a response to an RFP, or excuse me, an RFQ, because price was not the only factor here, but the ability and the credentials of the contractor to provide a new service feed. And so Robert Colburn came in out of four bids at $198,254. To provide the scope of work that was shared, as well as certain requirements of the U.S. Coast Guard for their shore ties, and also in recognition of putting a low voltage, which is our telecommunications, to the dock, and finally include any modifications or clarifications made in addendum number one, which was issued to the bid document. And in essence, the U.S. Coast Guard is going to take their, I don't remember if this has a pointer or not, I believe it does, there we go. So this little location over here is essentially right in this area over here is where the current meter is. We'll replace it, transverse in the upland, go along the embarcadero, and ultimately drop down the head of F dock, and then, of course, bring the power down in a new shore tie. So it's a very long run. We're very grateful to have had four very qualified bidders. It happens that Colburn is a bit more competitive in their price. Next steps would be for the board to confirm them as successful bidder and authorize the executive director to negotiate a contract with them up to the amount of $198,254. So that is staff's recommendation. Please keep in mind that the cost associated with this is paid by the U.S. Coast Guard. We will do a lease modification in which a tenant improvement will be authorized, and the district will be negotiated in full for this amount. And there is an allowance in there in case there's discovery in the course of construction. Of course, we'd have to do those contract modifications at that point in time.
We'll be reimbursed?
100%.
Nice.
That's what we were able to negotiate with the tenant.
Yeah, second.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. Any questions from the commissioners for this?
100%.
It's a $200,000 plug-in, basically, in layman's terms. But we get a lot from it. We get the Coast Guard supported. Eureka's a Coast Guard city. It's one of those things that we have to do to keep the lights on, right? As they say. All right. Let's. I don't have any specific questions. I'm very happy to hear that we'll be reimbursed from this. So this isn't hurting our overall budget. This is good for the Coast Guard and for our relationship with them, and good for us to have it. Will other vessels be able to use it?
This is proprietary to the U.S. Coast Guard.
It's totally proprietary.
That's correct.
Okay. There won't be men in black automatic weapons guarding it, right?
Well, this is a Homeland Security vessel, so I don't know what sort of activities occur, but I don't think so.
I guess I shouldn't ask that publicly. Yeah, it's going to be under severe security, tight all the time. Okay, let's turn this over then to the public for any comments on this particular project. Okay, and nothing online. Okay, well, I guess we just move right to the vote. Would you like this to be a roll call vote?
This is not a resolution, so you can just vote.
Okay, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so it is 10 minutes to 7, 50 minutes. It's one of our shortest meetings on record. We're now adjourned. Thank you both for coming.
Good job.